Welcome to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard. Thank you for joining us for another segment. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Cyrus Cooper, president of the International Osteoporosis Foundation and professor of musculoskeletal science at the University of Oxford. He's joining us here on Health Professional Radio to talk about IOF's Capture the Fracture initiative in partnership with Amgen, UCB, and of course, the University of Oxford. Welcome to the program, Dr. Cyrus Cooper.
Thank you so much.
Why is osteoporosis so important? Who's at risk?
Osteoporosis is defined as a reduction in bone mass, mm-hmm. which is associated with an increased risk of fracture. Mm-hmm. And it's these fractures that make osteoporosis important and a major worldwide concern. So the fractures attributable to osteoporosis can occur almost anywhere in the skeleton, but typically occur at the hip, the spine, and the wrist. And the lifetime risk of these fractures approaches 1 in 2 in women from age 50 years onwards in North America and Europe, and 1 in 5 among men from age 50 years in the rest of their lifetime. The fractures are increasing in frequency with our increasing elderly populations. There are about 9 million fractures worldwide each year, and they account for enormous healthcare expenditure.
Are these fractures, do they heal slower because of age? Are they, is this, you say, lifelong maintenance? Is this something that we have to deal with for the rest of our lives once we're diagnosed with these types of fractures or this risk?
So there are two ultimate determinants of whether a bone will break or not. Mm-hmm. The first is its strength, and the second is the amount of trauma that it's subjected to. Mm-hmm. Now, each of those changes in probability as we get older. Bone strength declines with age, and the risk of trauma through accidental falls rises with age. Bone strength is mainly contributed to by bone mass. That's the characteristic of bone that the term osteoporosis refers to. And bone mass changes throughout the life course, rising from birth through childhood to a peak between around ages 20 and 30 years. Mm-hmm. There then follows a steady period of 10 years, from after which bone density or bone mass starts to decline. And there's a slow decline in men and women, about 1% a year for both sexes. But there's superimposed on that a rapid decline between ages 50 and around 60 in women, concomitant with the menopause. When estrogen secretion from the ovary stops, there's a rapid loss of bone, which then becomes more parallel to the loss rate in men. Okay. And it's that difference that leads to fractures being more common in women than in men.
So what is post-fracture care and why is it so important?
One of the most important risk factors for having a fracture in later life is having had a previous fracture. Mm-hmm. Other than this risk factor, the other two important determinants are age itself, increasing age is a big risk factor for fracture, and bone density, which is measured by a dual energy X-ray absorptiometry or DEXA scan. Now, once one sustains a fracture, it's typical that the diagnosis is made by a clinician who undertakes an X-ray. If necessary, the fracture is repaired. So for a hip fracture, almost everybody goes into hospital and most people come out having had either a pinning or a hip replacement. Mm-hmm. For a wrist fracture, it's managed in the emergency room, often with a plaster cast. And for vertebral fracture, it might just be managed with drug therapy. But after that initial diagnosis and orthopedic treatment, very often, assessment of the risk of a second fracture and intervention with drugs to prevent bone loss and reduce the risk of that second fracture is omitted. And the key aspect of post-fracture care or secondary fracture prevention, as it's sometimes called, is a pathway of care that assesses risk of osteoporosis in people at the time that they sustain their first fracture. And that pathway is typically provided by having a fracture liaison system, usually delivered by a nurse, that unites secondary care, the hospital setting, with primary care, the family practice or general practitioner setting. And it's a very simple assessment of history risk factors, so your age, your weight, whether you've had previous disorders that predispose to osteoporosis, and on the basis of these, whether you need a DEXA scan. The combination of these gives your risk of a future fracture and determines the need for treatment. And the treatments we now have available are drugs which reduce bone loss either by inhibiting the cell that resorbs bone. They're so-called anti-resorptive therapies, such as the bisphosphonates or denosumab, and more recently, agents that increase the bone strength by increasing bone density, for example, teriparatide and romosozumab. And the use of these agents in people who have had a fracture to prevent a second fracture comprises the most appropriate model for post-fracture care.
Describe for us, if you will, the Capture the Fracture partnership.
So this is an international partnership between the organization of which I'm president, the International Osteoporosis Foundation, the University of Oxford, where I'm a professor of musculoskeletal science and where I direct and have directed for over 2.5 decades an osteoporosis research unit, and our corporate partners, Amgen and UCB. And through promulgation of secondary fracture prevention services, so-called post-fracture care services, worldwide, we hope to reduce by 25% the incidence of hip and spine fractures attributable to osteoporosis by 2025. And there are five broad pillars within this program. We aim to influence policymakers worldwide to establish post-fracture care programs within their national healthcare systems. We aim to engage a worldwide group of co-investigators and collaborators to assist in delivery of these secondary fracture prevention systems. We aim to construct a mentorship program to train the next generation of osteoporosis specialists and to make an interactive benefits calculator that allows physicians and healthcare providers to optimize secondary prevention services in their own national settings, using their own incidence rates for fracture, the mortality from their own countries, and the economic consequences of osteoporosis in their own healthcare systems and societies. And then lastly, we will provide an interactive database that houses all the information on secondary prevention of osteoporotic fracture worldwide through our own portal in the Capture the Fracture Partnership. So these five pillars will contribute to facilitating services worldwide. And from the point at which secondary prevention was incepted, say at the turn of the millennium in 2000, until now, we've successfully obtained increases to around 40 to 50% of risk assessment and treatment in elderly people who have already sustained their first fracture. By increasing that over 80%, we will undoubtedly be able to make gains in fracture risk reduction that I outlined at the beginning.
Where can our listeners learn more online, Doctor?
If you go to the Capture the Fracture website or the International Osteoporosis Foundation website, you can identify these, www.bonehealth.org, and follow the links to Capture the Fracture Partnership, or just go directly to www.capturethefracture.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Cooper. It's been a pleasure speaking with you this morning.
Great. It's been a pleasure, too.
You've been listening to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard. Audio copies of this program are available at hpr.fm and healthprofessionalradio.com.au.